Congratulations to the Boston Celtics, the Celtics fans out there. This was one of the most boring NBA finals ever. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. It's been a while, y'all. The NBA finals got extended, but it's not like they play a whole bunch of games. They just happen to extend the schedule. There is no reason, Adam Silver, for us to be waiting three games for an NBA finals game. Like, those joints need to be every other day unless we're traveling to a different city. But you can't be having these joints so spread out. Like, the fact that they didn't have an NBA Finals game on Father's Day, the one day when dads kind of have the day off, is ridiculous. How does that make any sense? But they have playoff games on Mother's Day when dudes are, you know, taking their moms and their wives out, and they're like, come on, dog. NBA, y'all got to do better than that. Y'all got to do better than that, man. But the finals are over. NBA finals are over. We got a new champion. Shout out. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics, the Celtics fans out there. Hey, man, they earned it. All right? And I have a lot to say about that. But at the end of the day, they earned the championship. You can't go back and erase it, no matter what happened, right? Injuries, no injuries. You can't go back and erase what happened. It is what it is. So the Boston Celtics are the 2024 NBA champion. So before I get into anything else about the finals and how I feel and all these other things, that's going to make me sound like a true hater. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to sound like a Boston Celtic hater today. Before I get into all of that, I do want to say a couple things about this Celtics team. First of all, congratulations, like I said. The Celtics truly were the best all-around team this year, all right? And from the very beginning, last offseason, when they got KP, if y'all go back to that episode, I was like, I wasn't really a big fan of that KP, you know, trade. I didn't really care for it. I didn't think it moved the needle much. But what I did think, what I did believe moved the needle quite a bit was when they picked up Drew Holiday. Like, when they traded Marcus Smart, I was like, they need that toughness, because they didn't have nobody else to have that toughness, that defensive intensity. Even though Marcus Smart, you know, sometimes, you know, can make bonehead decisions and he flops around and, you know, gets himself and his team in foul trouble. But they needed his intensity. They didn't have that. So they went out and got Drew Holiday. And I thought he was a great pickup. And he turned out to be a fantastic pickup. Drew Holiday actually turned out to be the missing link to this team. It wasn't KP. Porzingis made it unfair, right? Like, when he was on the court, then their offense kind of got unfair, because then he's shooting threes from 3 feet behind the line. And, like, he gives your team a whole different set of problems to deal with. But they won essentially without him. Like, he missed a lot of the year. He missed most of the playoffs. Like, the finals, you know, he played, you know, I guess 1.5 game or whatever you want to say it. So truly the difference maker for the Boston Celtics was Drew Holiday. And the fact that Jaylen Brown took a step that, frankly, most folks weren't expecting. And really, a lot of Boston Celtics fans are like, well, you know, people doubted us. You know, I was on Twitter today, and the Boston Celtics Twitter account, you know, had receipts of all these pundits and commentators from television, Stephen A., and, you know, all these guys talking about, you know, they're picking the Mavs and all this stuff. The reason people picked against the Celtics is not that they believed the Mavs were really that much better, because really the Celtics were the best team statistically, record-wise, all year in the NBA. There really was no reason to pick against the Celtics, but the reason I and so many others picked against the Celtics is because we didn't trust them. Nobody trusted the Celtics, man. We saw them, what happened against the Warriors in the finals a couple years ago. We saw them choke against the Miami Heat last year, man. We saw that. Like, they gave us no reason to be hopeful. And compound that with the fact that everybody in the East, their star player was hurt. And they look real sus against the Pacers, a team who shouldn't be in the same building as them. And they let the Heat get one on them without, you know, Jimmy and all these guys. They let the Cavs get one on them. Like, that's why we picked against the Celtics. Not because we thought the Mavs were so much of a better team. It's because the Celtics didn't give us the warm and fuzzies, man. They really didn't. All right? You can be a fan all you want to be, but true Boston Celtics fans will admit, if they're honest, that the Celtics didn't give you the warm and fuzzies. Like, Celtics fans who watch this team all year and knew the history of this team kind of was like holding their breath the whole time because they weren't sure how the team was going to react. They weren't sure how the team was going to react to the big stage. They weren't sure how the team was going to react to adversity. So it wasn't haters, you know, that picked against the Celtics. I personally have no issues with this Celtics team. I like these guys. It's just that they gave us no reason to truly be confident in them because last time I picked against the Celtics, Last time I picked the Celtics to beat the Warriors, they lost. I thought they were going to smack the Warriors in 22. I thought the Warriors had no chance in 22. They lost. The Heat, I picked them to beat the Heat easy. They lost. So what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Like, keep picking the team that keeps losing? No. So that history played in people's mind, and they were like, man, listen, I can't pick these cat dogs Celtics again because they're going to lose. They don't know how to handle it. So fortunately for Boston Celtics fans, that didn't happen. The Celtics this year were, you know, much more complete. And, you know, frankly, I guess the experience from previous years kind of hardened Jaylen Brown, really. And the addition of Jrue Holiday, you know, another, you know, tough-nosed kind of player, made it so that, you know, it was going to be hard for them, you know, to lose. So that's why we didn't pick the Celtics, y'all. It wasn't no hater. It was just, you know, they didn't give us no reason to. We weren't. Nobody was confident in the Celtics' ability to actually go in there and handle their business. But nobody in their right mind, at least I don't think so, really thought the Mavericks were a better team. The Mavericks have Luka, who's the clear, you know, best player in the series, and they have Kyrie, who's a really good partner in crime. Right? So they have one and two. But the Celtics, you know, you go from Tatum to Brown to White to Jrue to Horford to KP. Like, and then you bring in Hauser. These boys had a squad. They had a squad. So, yeah. That's why nobody picked you guys. So it wasn't hater. It's just that, you know, you didn't give us reason to trust you. But shout out to the Boston Celtics for winning. Simple basketball, man, which if you're a true basketball fan, you appreciate the way the Celtics played. Although me being a true old school basketball fan, I'm an old head, y'all. I prefer balanced basketball. I prefer banging down low. I prefer physicality. The Celtics play this, you know, four out, five out type of basketball where essentially every other shot is a three-pointer or it's a layup. Like, they're not taking any mid-ranges. But they play simple basketball. Great team offense, great team defense. And that's what the league should want to be, right? And I'll talk about this with Luka and the Mavs later on. But if you're building a team, you want to build a team like the Celtics, really, where – you know, you have multiple pieces on offense and you're as multiple on offense as you are on defense. You don't want to sit there and rely on one or two cats in the playoffs, man, because these teams are going to find a way to choke these guys out unless you got a generational type of talent who causes a mismatch problem on the court. Something else I'll talk about later. So unless you got a LeBron, unless you got a Joker, otherwise, you know, having just one guy is going to be tough to beat a team like the Celtics because they can switch everything. And that's why they made it so tough on the Mavs, because they could essentially throw everybody in the kitchen sink at Luka and at Kyrie. They could switch every pick and roll. And most of their guys were able to stay in front or do a pretty good job at the point of attack of staying in front of Luka and Kyrie. So really, really solid team, man. Like, I don't have any complaints about, you know, how this Boston Celtics team is structured. Again, they deserved it. I don't want to hate on them right now, at least not yet. Later on, I will for sure. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, great team building. Brad Stevens is a genius for the way he built that team together. Listen, a lot of people were ready to quit on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I know I was like, listen, if they lose this, maybe it's time to break them up, even though Jaylen just got his fat contract. That was never going to happen. But a lot of people were like, yeah, they need to break them up. And again, because of history, we saw what happened. We didn't think they could win together. We didn't think they had what it took, you know, to carry the day, to go into a final series, you know, and beat a team. But they proved it. Jaylen Brown proved it. Like, for a lot of this series and a lot of the playoffs, Jaylen Brown carried. But Brad Stevens is a genius. He built a roster that essentially allowed room for error. So I talked about in previous, you know, episode, I talked about how, you know, the Suns have a redundant team, right, where KD and Book and Beal are like, you know, redundant of each other. But sometimes there's good redundancy, right? The Celtics have good redundancy, meaning they're so multiple. Jaylen and Jason, you know, are redundant, but they're able to play with each other. They're not just ball dominant, you know, one-on-one players, both of them, you know. Jason can actually create for the team, especially in the structure of this offense. But on defense, that redundancy helped. So Jason, Jaylen, Derek White, and Drew, to a lesser extent, are all redundant pieces where they can all drive and kick. And they can all D up. So Brad Stevens built this roster to say, okay, I know that Jason Tatum has his limitations. I know that Jaylen Brown has his limitations when it comes to these things, right? When it comes to these types of playoff series, we know what their limitations are. We know the defense can do things to take them away. So they built the roster so that you can't take it away. If you take their drive away, they're going to pass it to somebody else who can drive. You take their shot away, they're going to pass it to somebody else who can shoot. Like, they can head fake, drive. You take it away, they're going to kick it out. You try to take their shot away, they're going to drive and kick it out and drive and kick it out. Like, it's just constant head fake, pass, kick out. Head fake, pass, kick out until somebody gets an open shot. So they built that redundancy there so that there is nothing literally you can do with this squad on defense unless, something else I'll talk about later, you have guys who can D up and keep them in front of you and play physical. But this is the perfect team for today's game, right? In a game today where there is zero big men, essentially, zero centers outside of Joel Embiid and the Joker, the Celtics are the perfect team because they're like all, you know, like 6'9 dudes, 6'8, 6'6 dudes, except for Drew, who's like 6'4. But they essentially have a team where everybody is tall, everybody is long, everybody can move their feet, everybody can play defense and has a desire to play defense. Everybody can drive and kick. Like, they are perfect for today's game where there is no big man to force them to, you know, to rotate, to force them to double in the post. So they're taking advantage of today's game where, you know, there's nobody like Shaq in there that's going to force them to do anything, right? So they have the perfect team. Derek White and Jrue Holiday, redundant pieces, right? Slightly lesser players, but essentially doing the same thing. And those guys, Jrue Holiday and Derek White, were just as important as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, man. Just as a, like some of the plays that Derek White made and Jrue Holiday made, like these hustle plays, like those dudes were critical. Critical to that team's success, man. Other teams just don't have that. They don't have those pieces that are good enough to be starters, but also know their role on this team and play their role. They played their role to perfection. Derek White and Jrue Holiday played their role to absolute perfection. So there was nothing anyone could do unless you had the Joker on your squad or Embiid or a squad that could defend them. So shout out to the Celtics, man. Again, congratulations. You guys did it, 2024. World champions. Nothing to be sad about. You know, people are going to, you know, hate on you. I'm going to hate on you, but hey, it is what it is. There's always haters. But seriously, though, y'all can celebrate this this championship. One thing that came out of this final series that was obvious. I've been saying that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have a chance to be Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with their length, their ability to defend, to score. I've been saying Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could be Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Obviously, nobody's Michael Jordan. Duh. They're far from it, right? I don't want nobody to come out saying, ooh, this guy's an idiot, right? None of them are Michael Jordan. But I've been saying that, like, they have the ability, meaning they have the ability to essentially shut down offenses from the perimeter because they're so long, they can defend, they're strong enough, like they got long ass arms, like they can body you up, like these guys, and on offense they can both handle, they can both go get a bucket. Like I thought these guys had a chance to be the best 1-2 punch in the league because they're both 6'8", 6'9", whatever they are, athletic as hell, and can hoop. Offensively, defensively, they're interchangeable. So I thought they had a chance to be that kind of duo. Again, I'm not saying, you know, either one of them is Michael Jordan. Not in the Michael Jordan sense. Meaning one would be the leader and one would be the, you know, Robin and Batman type of thing. So for the longest, I thought they would be, you know, they had a chance to be the best duo in the league. They had a chance to be this generation is Jordan and Pippen. But what I thought when I was saying that, I thought Jason Tatum was going to be the Michael Jordan. I thought Jason Tatum was going to be the lead. He's got the game to be the lead. Like I've said before, Jason Tatum's game is all around when he wants to be, when he's aggressive, when he's not settling for step back and sidestep threes. Like, he has the game to be all around complete package top five player in the league. He does. But when you watch the finals and the playoffs, Jaylen Brown is actually the Michael Jordan of that duo. Meaning he's the driving force. He's the leader. When you watch that finals, he took on the challenge of guarding Luka. He picked this dude up 94 feet. He pressed him. He ripped him. Like, he was the motivator. He was the outspoken one. Like, he was the emotional leader. Jaylen Brown took on the Michael Jordan role in this duo, and as a result, he won Finals MVP. Not because he put up better stats. Again, Jason Tatum, if you look, just look at the numbers, Jason Tatum had more points, you know, averaged more points, rebounds, assists. Jaylen Brown averaged 21, 5, and 5, essentially. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 44% field goal percentage, 24% three-point percentage. Tatum averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. 26% three-point percentage, 39% field goal percentage. But if you watch the games, and this is where a lot of people get hung up, they look at stats and they're like, oh, man, Jason Tatum should have been finals MVP. Same thing as the conference finals. If you watch the game, Jaylen Brown was clearly the better player for most of this series. Jason Tatum might have been the better player for like a game and a half. But for most of this series, Jaylen Brown was that dude. He was the emotional leader. He's the one that got up in Luka's shirt. Like, you couldn't pick this dude. Like, he was getting through all the screens. Like, this guy was an absolute menace. And to me, people are going to say Jason Tatum's the better player, and maybe game-wise he may be. But if there's going to be a duo, and there's going to be a Batman and Robin, I would say Jaylen Brown is that guy, man. He's the leader. Not that those two are truly, like I said, they're not Jordan level. They're not LeBron level. So they're not true 1As, right? Neither one of them are true 1A stars where you drop them on any team and that team's going to have a chance to be a contender. I don't think either one of them are like that. But on this team and their structure, Jaylen Brown is 100% the Batman of this team. And people are going to say, well, Jason Tatum, you know, he got doubled. And listen, man, I'm going to tell y'all, just like I told y'all with the Rudy Gobert thing, where people are like, Rudy Gobert, you know, on-off stats with and his defense and plus minus. And don't give me that. Don't give me that. I watched the games. I actually went back and watched the games. The Dallas Mavericks didn't play any, you know, there is no tape of Dallas playing, you know, any crazy defense like, you know, teams were playing on Steph where that opened up the game for everybody else in the Warriors. Jason Tatum, yeah, he was a primary playmaker. He was a primary ball handler. As a result, the Mavs' defense was ready for him when he drove. That's regular basketball. But the Mavs didn't do any kind of crazy trapping. You know, Boston Celtics fans are like, well, Jason Tatum was getting doubled and triple teamed. No, he wasn't. The Mavs played regular help defense. They were at the top of the key at the nail, as some call it. Essentially, wherever he got the ball, they were there to help. Like you would do anybody else who's a great scorer, who's a great player. But the thought that, you know, the Mavs essentially bent the defense towards Jason Tatum and that allowed openings with Jaylen Brown, I don't believe it, man. Somebody's going to have to show me that. But what I saw was Jaylen Brown doing his thing, being aggressive, being assertive. And, like, he came out that game five and he was like, yo, I'm D'ing up Luka. Really from the beginning of the series, but really in game five, he was like, I'm in Luka's junk. And Luka could do whatever he wants. Luka still got his, right? But you feel when somebody's on your ass for 94 feet. Jaylen Brown made him work. And for that team, for that structure, if they're going to be Jordan and Pippen, I have to go back on what I previously thought where Jason Tatum was going to be the Jordan. Nah. The leader of that team, the emotional leader, the guy who gets them going, he's the barometer. His name, Jaylen Brown. He's that guy for the Boston Celtics. So shout out to Jaylen for getting finals MVP, conference MVP. If you watch the games, it was clear and obvious. You know, social media tried to make the case for Jason Tatum. And really the only reason they try to make that case for Jason Tatum is because so many people are like, you know, Jason Tatum's having a bad series and, you know, he's looking awful. He didn't look great. His scoring wasn't great. Aside from really, like I said, a game and a half, he wasn't that great. And game five was so lopsided that anybody could have scored 30 points that game. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I don't mean to sound like a Tatum hater, man, because I like this guy's game, but he just, something is lacking in Jason Tatum, man, to where he doesn't consistently bring it. I talk about it. I talk about him wasting his talent. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent. I talk about that before. And he's one of those dudes where he doesn't go hard all the time, man. He's too lax. For somebody who idolizes Kobe and the Mamba mentality, he needs to adopt the Mamba mentality. And if he does for real, then watch out. Watch out. He's that guy. So shout out to Jaylen Brown, man. So what's next for the Celtics as we look to, you know, the future? You know, of course we're going to talk about whether they can repeat or not. Here's what I'm going to say about the Celtics team. A lot of people are saying, well, they have a chance to be a dynasty because of the way they're built. The new CBA is going to make it difficult for other teams to build like this and sustain their success. They have, you know, their main guys all under contract for a couple of years. Having said all that, right, understood, right, the contract situation and all that, I don't think this team is a dynasty. And this is where you Celtics fans may call me a hater. I don't think this team is a dynasty. They were really, really good this year. They only lost 3 games in the postseason. That's one of the best records ever. But I don't think this Celtics team is an all-time great team. I really don't. Maybe if they can run it back, we'll look back and say, oh, yeah, this team was really great. But I don't know if they can run it back. Like, I don't know if this team, right, if they're up there with some of the greatest teams ever, like the 16-17 Warriors who went 16-1. The 2000-2001 Lakers went 15-1. The Bulls in 90-91 went 15-2. Like any of those Bulls teams, like I don't know if I would put the Boston Celtics on par with any of those great teams right now. Again, the East was hurt, man. We just have to admit that. The East was hurt. They essentially had no challenge throughout the playoffs until they got to the finals. And it turns out the Mavs weren't really ready for that kind of basketball. The Mavs were outmanned. They were outgunned. So when you think about the Celtics and their greatness, really good team. I don't know, despite the fact that they only lost 3 games all postseason, 16-3, I don't know if this team is an all-time team. To me, I think they're like the 04 Pistons. Really good team for that generation. The 04 Pistons was like the epitome of the low-scoring, physical, dead ball basketball in the NBA. Like, they roughed dudes up, like, low-scoring. They were the epitome of that. Like, you weren't going to score against the Pistons. And the Celtics are the opposite of that. They're the opposite. They're essentially built for this analytic generation of no big men, small ball all the time, switch everything, drive and kick three-pointers, and if we're making our shots, you're going to have a hard time beating us. So the Celtics right now are peak analytics. That's what they are, right? The Pistons in 04 were peak dead ball, peak defensive basketball. You ain't going to score 70 points on us. No matter what you do, we're going to grab and hold and foul. And they were built for that generation. The Detroit Pistons of 04 were built for that generation. They weren't built to play in the modern basketball. Whereas a team like the Dynasty Bulls, they were built to play in any era because they could defend and score. The three-peat Lakers were built to play in any era, bro. Like, Shaq is unstoppable no matter what era you drop him in. So if Shaq is playing right now, the Celtics aren't winning a championship against this Lakers team because they have no answer for him. He's fouling everybody out. And Kobe is killing these boys. So some all-time great teams were made to, no matter what era you drop them in, they will be successful. This Celtics team is great for this era. I don't know if you drop them in the past, how they handle the physicality of the early 2000s, where you can grab and hold, where there were actual big men. I don't know if they can handle that. I don't know if they can go back and play against Shaq and do anything with, you know, the Jordan Bulls. Whether the first three-peat or the second three-peat, because both of those teams were versatile. So they were versatile enough to D them up. And they were physical enough to where if the rules allowed, they would take him out. They would erase him. They would erase him completely. So, yeah, so I don't know if the Celtics are going to repeat or not, but I don't think they're – looking at them right now, I don't think they're really a dynasty. People think – some people think they are, right, because of the cap situation, and I don't believe that. I think they were great for this year, great analytics ball, but I don't think, you know, they're going to run off, like, three straight. Like, you know, they're not going to be like the Warriors, you know, getting 4-7 or something like that. And frankly, to move on, this is, again, you're going to call me a hater. The Boston Celtics, I don't know if the Boston Celtics beat the Denver Nuggets if the Nuggets had made the finals. So if you're going to beat the Celtics, like I said, if you're going to beat this Celtics team, you need one of two things. You either need a big man, a true big man who's going to make them pay for having no height, right? No true size. You need a joker. So I think the Denver Nuggets beat the Celtics because they have no interest for the joker. The joker gets Al Horford in foul trouble. The joker gets KP in foul trouble for sure. And that changes their whole game plan. So you have to double the joker. Then they're taking, you know, they're getting wide open shots because they have no answer, no size at all, right? So the Nuggets beat them because I think the Joker fouls everybody out. Some people say Minnesota would have beaten them. I don't know if Minnesota beats them because Minnesota would face the same troubles as they did in the Mavs series where they would be exposed with the lack of playmakers and Rudy Gobert would be exposed in pick and rolls. So would Cat. And, you know, I've already talked about the fact that those guys were tall, but they don't play big. So the advantage that the Minnesota Timberwolves had over the Nuggets, they probably can't take advantage of that against the Celtics. So I don't know if Minnesota beats the Celtics. I think they struggle against the Celtics. I think the Heat could have beaten the Celtics. The Heat have proven they could beat the Celtics. Even with Jrue Holiday, right? I watched Jimmy Butler absolutely annihilate Jrue Holiday. I think the Heat could beat the Celtics if they were healthy. Because they have the guys to defend, like I talked about. They got the dudes on defense who can defend at the point of attack. They got the dudes, you know, pick and rolls and all that ain't going to work because they got like four or five dudes who could defend. You can't isolate Bam and pick on him because he can D up anybody. He can guard anybody on a Celtics team. So can Jimmy Butler. And you got Spo back there with all these schemes and crazy and funky things that he does. Like, I think the Heat healthy could have beaten the Celtics. Celtics fan ain't going to like that. Celtics fan ain't going to admit it. But the Celtics can run out Butler and Terry Rozier and, you know, all these guys and Bam, you know, all these guys who can defend. The Heat got like four or five guys on the perimeter who can defend. Now, their scoring may be lacking, but they can make the game so ugly that it comes down to the final minutes. And in the final minutes, I would trust the Heat more than I do the Celtics. When games get tight, I would trust the Heat more than the Boston Celtics. So I think the Heat would have beaten them. I think the Knicks would have given them a run for their money. Because the Knicks also don't mind getting dirty. Josh Hart don't mind getting dirty. Like, of course, the Knicks, again, all these injuries, right? Assuming Julius was there, you know, and all of these guys were healthy. I thought the Knicks could have given them a run as well because the Knicks don't mind getting dirty and defending and hustle plays, and they don't mind that. They don't mind getting uncomfortable and making you uncomfortable. They are a Tom Thibodeau team. Like, they have his personality. So with OG Anunoby there to defend and Josh Hart and, you know, all of these guys, they don't mind getting dirty and sloppy, bro, getting up in your shirt, making it tough for you. So if the Knicks were healthy, they'd probably give the Celtics a run too. So Boston Celtics fans, I know it sounds like I'm hating, but it's not hating, bro. It's admitting what's in front of you, man. Like, those teams would have given Boston a run for their money. There's no way if all those teams were healthy that Boston only loses three games. You know why? because they lost to the Heat with nobody there. And they lost to the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell hurt. Like, they got a run for their money from the Pacers, who really weren't a team ready for playoff basketball. So, yeah. Yeah. That's me. I think the Knicks give them a run for sure. I think the Heat probably beat them, but definitely take them extended series. And I think the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets beat them. The Nuggets will never forgive themselves for losing the way they did to the T-Wolves, because they would have been back-to-back champs. Because right now, the Joker is inevitable. Just like LeBron in his prime was inevitable, the Joker is inevitable. And he would have picked on the Celtics front line. So while you're out there shooting threes, he's taking layups because they had no answers for him. But all those are what ifs, man. It's fun to do what ifs, because you could make up anything in your head. It really is. You can make up any story. But what really happened was the Celtics are champions. Again, I want to repeat that. I don't want Celtics fans to come after me. I don't want to take anything away from the Celtics. What happened was the Celtics won. But your boy wants to say, damn, I wish everybody was healthy. All right, let's keep going, y'all. The Mavs. Ooh, so close, yet so far. People think the Mavs, you know, some people think the Mavs, you know, they're going to be, you know, ready to challenge. I don't know if the Mavs are really in a position to challenge again. The Mavs have a problem, bro. First of all, just last episode, I said Luka Doncic should be the face of the NBA, and I truly believe Luka should be the face of the NBA. I think he has the personality. He has the game. Like, he is all that, right? Luka does not disappoint when it comes to his watching him play basketball. But where he's lacking is his defense and his effort. And I know Maverick and Luka fans are going to say, well, he was hurt. I don't want to hear that, man. I watched this guy play on offense. He did not show any signs of injury. On defense, for whatever reason, he was slacking. Dudes were blowing by him. Actually, in game four, he actually played pretty good defense. But the rest of the series, his defense was non-existent. They picked on him. Like, Luka, just like I said for Anthony Edwards. Just like I said for Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards doesn't have to become like Luka in terms of his playmaking and, you know, distributing like LeBron. He doesn't have to be that. Luka doesn't have to be like Anthony Edwards on defense. But he at least has to be able to move his feet so enough and present a challenge enough so that he doesn't get picked on. He at least has, if Dallas is going to win, two things have to happen. Luka has to learn to actually defend and give effort, some sort of effort, so that dudes don't pick on you. Make it hard on somebody. You don't have to be Drew Holiday. You don't have to turn into prime Scottie Pippen and Kawhi Leonard, Luka. But you do have to defend and put in the effort. And we watched that series, right? Luka fans and Mavericks fans are going to say he was hurt. No, we watched that series, bro. His effort just wasn't there. But on offense, he was fine. So don't give me that. Luka, I love you, but you're going to have to defend. Secondly, he's going to have to get off the ball some. Same thing I said about James Harden. Same thing I say about LeBron now. He is too heliocentric. He dribbles the air out of the ball quite a bit, especially against good defensive teams like the Celtics, and they make it hard for him. So, yeah, he still goes and gets his 25, 30 points, but the rest of the team has no flow, zero flow whatsoever. It was essentially him and Kyrie taking turns. So Luka's going to have to learn how to play off ball some, get rid of the ball faster, and less heliocentric style of basketball in order for the Mavs to truly be challenging at the top of the top. Because right now, when he plays against the best teams, they're either going to shut him down and double him because his teammates aren't up to par, which is another problem, or they're going to, you know, just allow him to, you know, they're going to make it hard for him to score. He might still get his 30, but it is going to make it hard for him to score. Like, you're not going to score 30 and get 10 assists against the Boston Celtics, Luka. So you're going to have to learn how to play off the ball, play a different style of basketball. The Mavs are going to have to get less heliocentric and more multiple. They don't have to be exactly like the Celtics because Luka is still dominant. He's still that guy. He should still be the head of the snake. But he's going to have to play a little bit different style, a little bit more off ball in order for them to truly, you know, continue to make deep runs and be true contenders. So that's one. Luka has to change his style of play. Some, he has to defend. Kyrie looks slow against the Celtics. Whereas he looked amazing blowing by defenders against the Timberwolves, he looked slow. I don't know what was going on. Crowd in his head, thinking about a lot of things. But Kyrie looks slow. Like, I watched Kyrie struggle to get around Sam Hauser. Kyrie Irving struggled to get around Sam Hauser. So Kyrie looks slow. I don't know what's going on there. But here's what the Mavs really need, right? In addition to Luka making changes to his style and playing defense. What the Mavs really need are real defenders and real shooters. Right now, they got have guys who play okay defense. Like, P.J. Washington plays okay defense. Daniel Gafford plays okay defense. But they're not true lockdown, rim protectors, perimeter defenders. Airplane mode, Derrick Jones Jr. plays okay defense. But they're not lockdown defenders. And they're definitely not snipers. So they're not true 3-and-D guys. Because we're calling everybody 3-and-D now, right? If you can't handle, but you can spot up in the corner and occasionally make a three-point shot, and you can defend somewhat, we call you 3-and-D. Whereas not everyone is truly 3-and-D. Like, the guys on the Mavericks aren't truly locking anybody down. They're not true defenders like that. They're not Kawhi Leonard defenders, prime Kawhi defenders. And they're definitely not snipers. So the Celtics were perfectly fine. The Celtics were perfectly fine with P.J. Washington and these boys taking three-pointers because they knew they weren't snipers. They weren't going to get hot and roll off seven threes in a game. Even though earlier in the playoffs, P.J. Washington somehow looked like he was automatic from the corner three, as the playoffs went on, he wasn't like that because he's not a true sniper. He's not Kyle Korver and these boys. He's not Sam Hauser, who the Celtics have. Like, these guys, but you're scared. Like, they catch the ball, you're scared they get hot because they're going to go on a run. So the Celtics had no problem letting P.J. Washington shoot the hell out of the ball and Derrick Jones shoot. Yeah, they may make an occasional one, but if you watch the series, the Celtics never overreacted to the Mavericks shooters because they don't really have shooters. They have guys who can make some shots, but they don't have any shooters. So the Mavericks need actual three-point shooters. That way, when Luka gets doubled, he could more confidently kick it out, and dudes will, you know, snipe the other team to death. Now it makes it hard to double Luka, and it makes it hard to double Kyrie. And I don't know if they have the cap space. I'm not a capologist. I never pretend to know all this stuff, right, to be in people's business money-wise. But what I do know is that if the Mavs are going to get for real and contend for real, they need some true snipers because the guys they have now who they're calling 3-and-D are neither true Ds or true threes. Like, they're not killing dudes from the three-point line like that. Teams don't mind. Celtics had no problem leaving Derrick Jones open. They had no problem leaving P.J. Washington open. That's your 3-and-D? Nah, that ain't it. That ain't it at all. So that's where they need to upgrade because the Celtics could double every Luka pick and roll. And when he kicks it out, if it ain't Kyrie, nobody else really has a game to get downhill and get in the paint or really do anything creative with the ball. So that's where they struggled. So Mavs, listen to your boy. All right? Dallas Mavericks, listen to your boy. Luka, get in shape. Learn to play some defense. Don't be a cone out there. Two, that heliocentric style of basketball, dribble, James Harden joint, try to draw a foul. Like, you got to get less heliocentric. Luka's great. He can still get his numbers, but you got to get less dependency on Luka. And third, you guys got to get some real defenders and or some real shooters. Because who y'all got now just ain't it. Ain't it. They may win y'all a couple of series, but when it's time to play the big boards, the finals, teams will adjust to Luka. They'll adjust to Kyrie. And they'll leave these other guys open. And if they can't hit, then it's a wrap. And that's what happened against the Celtics. So that's how the Mavs can get better. Let's move on. Last topic I want to touch on, and I'm going to get out of here, y'all. So I'm not usually one to get into this thing about, you know, people online, if you're on social media, people complain about everything, man. People complain about every damn thing. I'm not one to complain a lot about, you know, how the game is on, you know, the production and, you know, things like people talk about the announcers and how Doris Burke and, you know, J.J. Redick, they talk about Mark Jackson and they miss Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, even though a lot of those people were like, get Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy out of there. I'm not one to complain, but I'm going to say this, man. This was one of the most boring NBA finals ever. Everything about this finals was boring. From the production, like, you had no feel in the production that this was a final series, that it meant something, right? When you watched the previous finals with the LeBron and Steph, like, you felt like it was two Titans going at it. Those of us who are older, when it was Jordan versus Barkley and Jordan versus Malone, we were like, these guys are out for blood. Like, this is war. We didn't get any of that in this final series. The production, ESPN then produced this thing like it was a battle of the Titans. It felt like just another game, another playoff series. Of course, they stopped having the big trophy logo on this, in the center of the court. They got a whole bunch of YouTube logos, whatever, right? So that's the production part of it. But the finals itself, the games themselves, weren't it, man. They were boring. They had no intrigue. Literally one close game out of the whole thing. And okay, fine. We've had previous series where there were blowouts, right? When the Warriors were beating up on the LeBron and the Cavs, a lot of those games were blowouts. But we had dominant individual performances. We had wow factor. We had Steph shooting threes. We had KD going bananas. We had Bron piling up stat 50-point triple-doubles in losses. Even when getting swept, we had all of this intrigue of individual player performances. You know, Joker just last year, you know, the series with the Heat wasn't that close, but the Joker last year was like, damn. He was on it. We were like, this brother is dominant. Like, Joker put on a show. We had, in previous series, even the ones where the teams were as close, we had individual performances that made us stick around to watch. LeBron and KD and Steph went crazy, and Joker went crazy, and Giannis went bananas, right? We watched those series, even though, you know, the teams weren't marquee teams and the series weren't maybe not have been as close as we would have liked, we watched with intrigue. There was zero intrigue to this series. It was just basketball. Of course, I watch because I'm a hoop head. I'm going to watch basketball regardless. But there wasn't nothing intriguing about this finals. Sorry, Celtics. I know you guys, you know, think everybody loved this finals. Nah. It was good, fundamentally sound basketball. But in terms of wow factor, intrigue, there was nothing about it that was captivating. There wasn't no great individual performance. There wasn't nobody hitting crazy shots and nobody being unstoppable. Like LeBron, even when he's getting swept, he was just looking like a freaking demigod out there. There wasn't like that. There was little physicality. Like there was a couple dust-ups, but they had no dudes had no chance to really get mad at each other, get under each other's skin. Celtics fans, you could be honest with yourself. As you watch this series, maybe you say you're a damn liar, bro. There are no memories to take away from this series. No real captivating moment. Like if you remember Giannis in that Phoenix series, right? That one play was captivating where he's, you know, on the pick and roll, he defends the guy, you know, the up man, and then he runs back and blocks the lob attempt, the dunk attempt, the alley-oop attempt. Who does that? That was memorable. We have memories from other series of KD hitting pull-ups in LeBron's face. We have memories of the Joker, you know, making crazy shots against the Heat. Those series weren't that close. We don't have any memorable plays from the Celtics series, man, this beatdown. None. It was boring. Sorry. A lot of people are going to be mad at this, but it was boring. And if the NBA, by the way, this was like some of the lowest ratings for a final series in a long time. Like if the NBA was trying to get new fans, this series wasn't it. Because there was nothing about this series that was captivating to a casual to bring in a new audience. And there were no takeaways. There were no takeaways from this series. Not only were there no memories, there were no takeaways. I talked about the Joker. Like last year, the Joker, after that series, we were like, oh yeah, the Joker is the best player in the world. In 2022, like after that series, we were like, oh yeah, Steph is solidified. He is a made man. After 21, Giannis, we were like, yeah, he's the best player in the world. After that series, 50 points in a closeout game or whatever it was. After that series, we're like, yeah, Giannis is that guy. He elevated to another tier after that championship series. There were no takeaways from this series between Boston and Dallas, man. Nothing. There is, like, Jason Tatum didn't go up another tier. Jaylen Brown didn't really go up another tier. Like, their resumes look nicer. They have trophies. They have a trophy now. But there were no true takeaways, no storyline coming out of this final series. So there was no intrigue. It was boring. It was just basketball. It was just, we're just hooping at LA Fitness. That's all it was. That's all it was. Unfortunately. Like, seriously, like, be honest. Like, what is a storyline that, like a memory, like a takeaway that you can have from this Boston Mavs series? What is something you're like, damn, I remember where I was when this happened. Like, I remember where I was when Ray Allen made that shot. I remember where I was where KD pulled up in LeBron's face back-to-back years. I remember that. I remember that. I remember Kyrie's shot. Right? People remember that going way back. We remember Jordan's, you know, shots against the Jazz. We remember John Paxson making there are things in NBA finals that are immortalized across the ages that'll get played over and over and over again. So if you were to play a highlight, like one highlight from this year's NBA finals, what would it be? What is a memory that everyone's going to be like, yep, I remember where I was. I remember where I was. Where I was watching Giannis freaking hedge on a pick and roll and sprint back and block a DeAndre Ayton alley-oop attempt. I remember watching that. That thing plays in my mind constantly, like, damn, how did he do that? You remember watching Steph essentially demoralize by himself the Boston Celtics last year, being unstoppable, putting them to sleep. You remember that. You remember LeBron. You remember J.R. Smith running the wrong way. You remember that. There are things you remember across the years, man. There is nothing about this finals that was memorable. So Celtics fans, I apologize for sounding like a hater. But this finals was boring, and the ratings proved it. But I'm a basketball head, so I'm watching it anyway. But this wasn't the best of NBA finals basketball that the league has to offer. I mean, dudes barely got mad at each other. Like, usually in a four-game series, like, dudes are under each other's skin. Like, there was a couple dust-ups, and that's it. Like, what's up with that? Yeah. So, anyway. Shout out to the Celtics, y'all. Congratulations again. Can't take nothing away. You're champs. It's going to go. Your name's engraved on a damn trophy, bro. Can't take it away. So I'll never say they didn't deserve it. They deserved it. But circumstances played a role in that. I'm just messing with y'all. Hey, that's all I have for today. Really wanted to talk about the finals. NBA season's over. Draft's coming up. I have some thoughts about that. Y'all want to catch next episode. But I appreciate y'all as always watching, listening. Don't forget to subscribe and like. Don't forget the website, sportsintheReal.tv. SportsintheReal.tv. Check it out. As always, I appreciate your feedback, comments. Let me know what you like, what you don't like. I'm gonna catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports in the Real. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sec on the clock. I am Ray Allen's the shot. I'm going straight to the top.